Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll be there. I'm not sure if that's where we go first or not, but we're going to be there eventually. I entitled this evening's message on that is, there are martyrs, the faith of martyrs. And I wanted to share with you, you know, there is a culture today amongst Christendom, you might say, of this idea that God will heal and deliver everyone, that there's always deliverance, that there's always healing and so forth in all cases. And you'll see a lot of times on television, faith healers and different things like that. And some of them I have a lot of fun watching, but you know, that's probably sinful to do that even. But don't mean to question or to be negative about any of their ministries. But I think sometimes there is a false teaching oftentimes that that somehow God wants to heal everyone. A lot of times they take a passage from Isaiah and they really twist that and they use it in out of its context, and it's not at all what God was talking about. And by His stripes we are healed and so forth. He has not promised to heal everyone. Matter of fact, when Christ was on the earth, He had the ability to heal all of those that may have had an illness or something around Him, that maybe they had leprosy or maybe they were paralyzed. But we really see several cases. We see some examples of it, but He obviously did not heal every single person who had leprosy, or every single person that could not walk, or every person who was blind or deaf. God did not, Christ, when He was on the earth, He did not heal everyone. Now, could God heal everyone? Absolutely. Could God bring deliverance to those that are in danger because of their faith? Yes, He absolutely could. But one of the things that I want you to see tonight is that's not always God's will. And we have a lot of folks that will say, well, it is God's will, and if you or I would just have enough faith, that we would be healed or that we would be delivered. I want to show you tonight that that's not true. That's not necessarily the case at all. And that God is going to ultimately, He's going to carry out His purposes. He's going to carry out His plans. And so let's talk about this a little bit tonight. That is, some more heroes of the faith. And some of these heroes of the faith are actually martyrs. They weren't delivered. They weren't brought out of their persecution that came their way. And so faith and deliverance, let's talk about that this evening. You know, this idea that God will heal anyone if they have enough faith. Well, that's not necessarily true, because it may not be God's will to heal them. Now, there's a lot of books that are written. There's lots of things that are said about it, etc. But I want you to see something. And I hope you got a handout. I think they were passing some out. I hope that you did. But if deliverance or healing will glorify God, I want you to catch this now. If healing or deliverance will glorify God, then He can and He will do it. If it would glorify God, He can and He will do it. You know, a lot of people say, well, if Jesus would have done more miracles, and if He would have done this or that, maybe more would have believed. The truth of the matter is, church, if you go back, Jesus was performing tremendous miracles in front of multitudes, crowds, hundreds of people, if not more. And He performed, I mean, just obvious miracles. Lame getting up and walking, blind seeing. He did all of those miracles, and the truth of the matter is, many did not believe, did they? They walked away. Some walked with him for a while because they wanted food. They wanted the things that he could give them. But eventually, they just walked away. They turned away from the Lord. And so I want you to see that, you know, if it would glorify God, God certainly is able to deliver and able to heal, and he will. Now, look at this. If deliverance will not glorify him, if deliverance will not glorify him, he will not do it. It is not God's will to heal everybody. It is not God's will for all to be healed and all to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's just not the Lord's will. Now I want you to see something very important. Everything God does glorifies himself. Well, that's a really hard thing, especially if you're going through an illness, especially if you're like myself, you're half blind or you're blind or you're deaf. Those are hard things. Those sometimes are very emotional, very hard things to accept, very, very difficult. But I want you to see something. If it were God's will and it would glorify God for you to be completely healed, then God could do it and he would do it if it glorified him. And so maybe it's his choice not to do that because you can glorify him as you are. It may not be his will for that healing to take place. It may be God's will to use you just as you are. Just as you are. The absence of deliverance does not mean a lack of faith. Listen to me. You'll see it on television. Faith healers will claim it. The reason people did not get saved who came to their crusade was because they did not have enough faith. If they would have had faith, then they would have been delivered. That's not true. It's not true. And people, God-fearing, God-loving people who wanted healing, who wanted deliverance, go around and they subject themselves to all sorts of guilt, all sorts of trauma in their hearts emotionally, because God didn't heal them, because God didn't deliver them. And a faith healer or a preacher has told them, you didn't get healed, you must have had a lack of faith. And so they struggle. And they go through life with spiritual pain and guilt and wondering, what can I do to change this? How can I have more faith? And the truth of the matter is, they have enough faith. It's not a question of their faith. It's a question of, what is God's will? What is God's will for their life? How can God receive the most glory in their life? I have you in Hebrews 11, but I really want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. To one of my favorite passages of Scripture. You know, I lost my left eye when I was about 4 years old, four and a half. Hit with a stick, whacking leaves off a tree, my neighbor friend. And here's a lesson for young people. I disobeyed my dad. I wasn't even supposed to be in that yard next door. But I disobeyed and I climbed the fence and went there. And shortly after that, I got whacked in the eye with a stick. Oh, you know, growing up as a young person, when you get about 14, 15, and you watch all your friends get their license, and they can drive, and they have this freedom, and they can come and go, and you know you're never going to have that, you will beg God, you will beg Him, to heal your sight, to change you, to make it possible. And yet, that's not God's will. I want you to look, this passage, when I was struggling with some of that as a young teenager, it was later that I came across this passage and discovered it. And it's a very, very powerful one. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 7, and I want you to remember the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, the Bible tells us that he was caught up into the third heaven. He says, whether I was in my body or out of my body, I do not know, but when God saved me, God had taken me to the third heaven, and God had revealed some things. God had showed me some things about heaven and about Him and about all of these things. God had just revealed some things to me. And then look what he says here. In 2 Corinthians 12, we'll pick up in verse number 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. He said, I received a lot of revelations. God had really showed me a lot of things that nobody else had ever seen. But he says, unless I would be exalted above measure and I would be lifted up in pride and selfish ambition, he said, God did something. He gave me a thorn in the flesh. He says, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest what? I should be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times. This thorn, this messenger from Satan that was there bothering him, this thorn in the side, if you would, he says, I have begged God to remove it. I have asked God over and over to take that from me, to change that. And some of you have had situations and problems and health needs, and you have begged God and you have pleaded with God and you've asked Him to change it, to heal you, to change your circumstance, whatever it is. He said, I begged the Lord. I begged with Him three times that it might depart from me. In verse number 9, and He, that is the Lord, He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. God told Paul, when he was struggling with this thorn in the flesh, this messenger of Satan that he was asking God to remove and to deliver him from, God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, you may be struggling with a health need. You may be struggling with an emotional need. You may be struggling with all sorts of things. I don't know what maybe the thorn in the flesh is that God has given to you. But what I can promise you, based on this passage here, is that God's grace is sufficient for you. If God chooses never to remove it, He chooses never to take it away, if He chooses that you're going to struggle with it, God says, my grace is sufficient for you. Look at this now. For my strength is what? My strength is made perfect. My strength is mature. My strength is made mature in weakness. Wow. Do you see how God gets glory? He doesn't get glory the way we think. God gets the glory through weakness. He doesn't necessarily get the glory through a healing. He may not get the glory through a deliverance. He gets the glory, he says, even through weakness. And because of that, Paul goes on. And he says this, and this is very powerful. Therefore, because of that, because God has chosen to give me this thorn in the flesh, and because I know that God's grace is sufficient for me, he says, and I know that God is going to get the glory in my weakness. He says, therefore, most gladly, that's hard. When you're struggling with a weakness or a thorn in the flesh, you're struggling. He says, most gladly, I will rather boast what? In my infirmities. I would most rather boast in my infirmities. Why? Why should we brag in our infirmities? Why should we not let our infirmities destroy us? Why should you not let your weaknesses destroy you? Why should you not let the fact that you're not always healed and you're not always delivered? Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon you. He says that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10, therefore, this is tough, church. What he's about to say is tough for us to practice. Therefore, I take what? I take pleasure. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches. When people mock me because of my faith, when people scoff at me, he says, in needs, even when I'm needy, I don't have everything that I need, even in my needs, in persecutions. We're not persecuted in America for our faith. We may be laughed at, we may be made fun of, and we may be part of the jokes that go around. But I'm telling you something, none of us in here have really experienced, not that I know of, persecutions for your faith. And distresses. Paul had been shipwrecked several times. He had been stoned and left outside of, I believe it was Lystra, as dead. He said, we do all of these things. And he says, most gladly, I boast. I take pleasure in these things. And all of these things for Christ's sake. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Christ. For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, excuse me, then I am strong. I want you to see something here. God is many times, He is glorified in our weaknesses. I want you to catch that. God is glorified in our weaknesses. You don't have to have it all together. Matter of fact, just let's be real. None of us do have it all together, do we? Maybe I'm the only one. None of us really do have it all together, do we? All right. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, I want to begin in verse number 30. We read this verse this morning, the next two, but I want to go back and just touch on them anyway. Verse number 30, we see the story about Jericho and Joshua, and it says, by faith, the walls of Jericho, they fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. They weren't blasted. They didn't use dynamite. They didn't do anything except walk around the wall once a day for 7 days. And on the seventh day, they went around seven times. The priest blew the ram's horns, and they all shouted, and the walls fell flat. That was a miracle of Almighty God. God chose to deliver Joshua and the Israelites that day. Verse 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab, remember, a Gentile prostitute, not a very likely candidate for sure of being used by God, but yet she becomes the mother of Boaz and becomes part of the lineage of Jesus Christ, the very Savior of mankind. God used a very unlikely candidate. She did not perish with those who did not believe. When she had received the spies with peace. And verse 32 in the Bible says, and what more shall I say? Look at this now. Look what he says, the writer here. For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. Oh, have you gone back and read Gideon? I remember I did a little series on Gideon. What a fun story that was. You know, Gideon was back there, and he was weak, and he was trembling, and he was scared to death, and he was hiding out where they would grind out the grain and so forth, and he was down there just shaking and scared to death. God had called him to do something, and man, he was terrified of doing it. And I love it because God comes along and he calls out to Gideon and he says, oh, Gideon, you mighty man of valor. He wasn't a mighty man of valor, he was scared to death. But it was what God was going to make him. Was what God was going to do through Gideon because he obeyed God. Then there's Barak, it says. What about Samson and Samson? Samson, by the way, he was a very worldly man. Samson was self-seeking, self-pleasing, self-everything. Manipulated his parents. He was a conniver. But in the end, his eyes were plucked out. He was in chains because he had become so proud and thinking that it was all about him and he had the power and on and on. But yet, in the end, Samson was used by God to destroy the enemies of God. So he's listed here, Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets in verse 33, who through, look at this, faith, they subdued kingdoms. They worked righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. Remember Daniel. They quenched the violence of a fire. A Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle. They turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women, they received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might, look at this, obtain a better resurrection. Still others, they had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. And it goes on in verse 37, they were stoned, they were sawn in two. Isaiah, he was hiding hiding from the wicked king Manasseh, and he hid in a tree. The historians say he hid up in a tree, and what did the wicked king do? He cut the tree down, cut the tree in half, and cut Isaiah in half as well. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute. Think about John the Baptist in the New Testament running around wearing camel's hair was his outfit, eating locusts and honey. And these people of the Old Testament, they were destined, they were afflicted, tormented. Now, I want you to really catch the first few words in verse 38 because this is very powerful and there is a huge lesson for us to catch. He's just listed all sorts of people of faith, hasn't he? He's just listed all kinds of giants of the faith in the previous part of this chapter and in the last few verses. But when you look at verse 38, very powerful what the writer says here, of whom the world was not worthy. He says, the world was not even worthy of these people. The world was not even worthy of these heroes of the faith. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. 39, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through what? Through faith. What's faith? It's obeying God no matter what the circumstances, no matter if it makes sense or not, no matter what the consequences might be. It says they gained a good testimony through faith, that is obedience to God's word. They did not receive the promise. Most of these people did not receive the promise that was given to them in their lifetime, and they are receiving it in their eternal reward in heaven. Verse number 40, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be perfect apart from us. We've been seeing the faith is seen, and I want you to catch this, it's seen in our obedience. You know where your faith shows up the most? Oh, it's not at a healing rally or something like that. No, you know when your faith shows up the best? You know when your faith actually shows up the best? It's when you obey God, even when it's not comfortable. Even when you don't feel like, even if it doesn't make sense, that's when your faith shows up. It shows up when you are obedient. Faith is also seen in acting on God's promises. It's acting on God's promises. God has made some promises and we believe God. And Abraham believed God. Sarah believed God. Moses believed God. Joshua believed God. Gideon, oh mighty man of valor, he believed God. Barak believed God. All of these people, they believed God. Samson, in the end, believed God. All of these things, God used them. Why? Because they were special? No, because they believed God and they obeyed Him and His commands for them. Faith is seen, look at this now, it is seen in our separation. It's seen in our separation from the world. Listen, believers are to be distinct. We're to be different. We're to be separated. Now, I didn't say that God expects you somehow to be weird or to be you know, some kind of a kook out there or something like that. But God does expect for you and I to behave and to act and to think differently than the world does. Faith trusts and obeys God even when He does not deliver us. These prophets, these heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11, many of them were stoned. Many of them were killed. They became martyrs. They were not delivered. They were not delivered. But faith, you see, it trusts and obeys even when God does not deliver us. What about these martyrs? I don't know if you've ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Tremendous book. There's all sorts of martyrs. There are people today, again, we don't experience it here, but there are people all over the globe that are martyrs for their faith. There are Christians in Muslim countries that are being persecuted. There are believers in parts of Africa and other countries and cultures who, when they become a believer, their family will disown them. There are people that if a man becomes a Christian, his wife's family will come and take her from him and the children. There are Christian churches in parts of Nigeria, Kenya, and other parts of the world that literally they are being burned to the ground and destroyed. These people are martyrs for their faith. There are martyrs that literally they are being flayed. Their skin is actually just being peeled right off of them. There are those that are scalded in boiling hot water until their skin blisters and just falls off. There are some that are being stretched on wheels, spread out with their hands strapped and just stretched. There are others that are being torched. They are being soaked in oil and whatever else they decide to do and tar, and then they will set them on fire for the others to watch them burn. There are some that are put into thumb screws. Their thumbs are just tightened and tightened and tightened, and they have no idea. I mean, you and I have no idea the pain. There are others like Isaiah that they were literally sawed in half. We don't experience anything like that. Isaiah, he was cut in two. Zechariah, he was stoned. Look at Daniel thrown into the lion's den. Daniel chapter 3 and verses 16 through 18, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we all know about their story, answered and they said, look at this now, this is powerful. Daniel, I think, what did I say? Daniel 3, let me go back, we'll just read that. Daniel 3, verse 16, starting there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they answered and they said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, now my wife always makes fun of me when I say that. It's because I'm from Maine. I don't say it right. I don't know why. I tried, dear. I hope I got it right. But I always say Nebuchadnezzar, all right? And I don't know how you're really, that's a long name. It's more than four letters. I can't even pronounce it, all right? But anyway, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to do what? To deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us from your hand, O King. Look at this. This is faith.
Verse number 18, but if not, if God does not deliver us out of that fiery furnace, Nebuchadnezzar, verse number 18, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. God does not see or value people the same as man does. God does not see or value people the same as you and I do. And that's why that verse back in Hebrews said, the world is not worthy of these martyrs. That is a powerful thing. That is a powerful thought. Hebrews 11, verse 36 through 40 again. Still others, they had trial of mockings and scourgings and yes, and of chains and imprisonment. And it goes on, they were stoned and they were sawn in two. They were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Verse 38, I love this verse, of whom the world was not worthy. You see, the world thinks it's better than you and I. The world thinks that, they have their standard of what's worthy and what's not. God said, you know what? These people that are martyred for their faith, they are martyred for their faith. Guess what? The world is not even worthy of this kind of people. They don't even deserve these kind of people that are willing to, because of their faith, be martyred for their faith in Christ. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. God says the world isn't even worthy of these martyrs. You know what the Jews said about Paul? They said that Paul was not even fit to live in Acts chapter 22. Festus said of Paul, he's crazy. You maybe have had a relative or a family member or a neighbor say that about you because you choose to act in faith and obedience to Scripture. Paul even said, they consider me to be the offscouring of the world. Paul basically said, 1 Corinthians 4:13, look at this now, being defamed, we entreat, we have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. Not everyone will be delivered. I want you to catch that. Paul says here, listen, we're considered the scum of the earth. Not everybody is going to be delivered. Why? Because it's not God's will for everybody to be delivered. Because God oftentimes gets the glory through a martyr, through one that is not delivered. God does not always deliver us miraculously. Let me give you a couple other thoughts. God does not have to heal to prove our faith. God does not have to heal you. God does not have to heal me to prove my faith in Him. Absolutely not. Jesus did all kinds of miracles and still many walked away in unbelief. A miracle doesn't automatically mean there's real faith. God doesn't have to heal you to prove your faith. It takes more faith. Listen to me. This is very important. It takes more faith for you and I to endure a trial. It takes more faith for you and I to endure a trial than to escape a trial. Do you know when Christians grow the most? It's in the tough times. It's in the battle. Do you know when Gideon grew the most? When God sent him out and said, no, you know what, Gideon, 30,000, that's too many. God gets him down to about 300. And he's going to go take on a whole army. That's when his faith was revealed. It takes more faith to endure a trial than it does to escape it. Faith will work in anyone's life if they will listen to his word and surrender to his will. That's the problem we have. We oftentimes do not surrender to his will. Oh, we hear his word. I hear you, preacher. I don't know if I can do that. But you see, that's where the proof is, isn't it? In our obedience. Gideon, Barak versus Sisera, what a story. Samson, what a story. You know, when Lincoln gave the Gettysburg Address, it was very interesting. The fellow before him spoke for over an hour. Lincoln got up and his speech, the Gettysburg Address, was less than 2 minutes. They say when he sat back down, the people around him said, is that it? But you know what? People remember. They remember what he said, don't they? Nobody even knows who the guy before him was. And he spoke an hour. Wow. People say there has to be more. And the truth of the matter is, there doesn't have to be more. People today are looking for miracles and deliverance and faith healings and all kinds of things. And that's exciting. And that draws them. Let me tell you something. That's not how God works. I have a picture of the Vietnam Wall on the memorial. Several years ago, when that was put up in D.C., there were a lot of people that really kind of complained and were really questioning that. Because I've had the opportunity to be there, but there's like 58,272 names that a computer engraved in all of that marble. It's amazing. What a sight to see. But a lot of people really had a very hard time with the Vietnam Memorial only being the names of those that died in the Vietnam War. There has to be more. There has to be more than just these names. The truth of the matter is, names are enough. These people that we see in Hebrews, the names and the stories of this chapter of Hebrews 11, it is enough. It should be enough to motivate you and I to be people who will walk by faith in obedience to God, even when it's hard, even when it doesn't make sense, even when it's difficult. And you see, that's why the author of Hebrews says, you know what? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Every one of these people in Hebrews 11, whether their story is told or just their name is mentioned, it's enough. It is enough because it shows the power of Almighty God. And God said of these martyrs for their faith, you know what? This old world, it's not even worthy of people like that. Wow. How's your faith? How's your walk with God? Is He asking you to do some things that are tough? Is He asking you to do some things that maybe don't make sense to you? Are you a person of faith? Would you stand with me tonight? Father, as we come before You this evening, I thank You for each one that is here tonight. Lord, I pray that we as a church, we as a people, that we have grown as we've gone through this chapter and looked at these people, and Lord, as we see these names, I pray that we've grown. I pray that if there's one thing that we could learn, that it is just to obey You no matter what. No matter how hard it is, no matter whether it makes sense to us, we just need to obey You. And that, Lord, without faith, it's impossible to please You. Lord, I pray that You would burn into our hearts and into our minds these heroes of the faith. That You would burn it into our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we might stand for You. That, Lord, we might just be people of real solid faith. That, Lord, we would carry the light of the gospel into a dying world that need to hear of Christ. Father, we pray that You would go with us this week. Help us to be godly testimonies wherever we go. Lord, if there would be one or two or several that might be here tonight and they've never given their hearts and their lives to You, then Lord, I pray that You would speak to them, that Your word would speak to them, that Your spirit would speak to them, that You would bring conviction, that, Lord, You would help them to see their need of a real faith in You. Father, dismiss us. Lord, we pray for the many that are struggling with illness and health issues. Lord, we pray that You would encourage them, that You would lift them up and strengthen them. Bless us this week. Watch over us. Protect us. But, Lord, most of all, be glorified in our lives. And we pray this in Your name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.